Good day, friends. This is Steve Johnson with Landing Strip Enterprises. Today, my theme is Israel, Radical Islam, Our Messiah, and Our Part. In the light of the glory of God, His presence now with us, our security in Him, the promises of empowerment, heaven's distribution of courage, and His purposes larger than this life, I would like to speak of things happening on our tiny earth under the eye of God. God's eyes are able to narrow down microscopically to even see Israel's war with radical Islam. I would like to speak of matters surrounding this war. Here is a briefing on God's promise to Abraham and his descendants to possess the Holy Land, our privileged relationship as Gentiles to the Jewish believers, the present war between radical Islam and the Jewish people, the broader threat to Christians and the world at large, our security in Christ Jesus the Lord, and applying our giftings and callings in this hour. These are such critical, pivotal times. Christians should more than any others know the times, the circumstances and trends, and what needs to be done. 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." My goal is to stimulate perspectives which activate alertness and sobriety so we will upgrade our prayers and activities and see our mighty God do glorious things. So, dear Heavenly Father, for your fame and the honor of your Son, may we be mindful of you now. God promised the Jewish people the Holy Land. God spoke to a Bedouin chieftain, Abram, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." God reiterated this promise to Abraham's son, Isaac. "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and will bless you, for to you and your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath I swore to Abraham your father." God further reinforced this covenant with Abraham's grandson Jacob. In his vision of the staircase, Jacob saw the Lord standing above. He said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." These promises include multiplication like the stars of the sky. Dozens of repetitious references to the Holy Land promise appear in Scripture. In an uncanny and often tumultuous story, Jewish people have lived in the Holy Land over 3,000 years. This history lesson will not take place today, but you would do well to read your Bible and other sources to help you understand the indigenous character of the Jewish people, our privileged relationship as Gentiles to the Jewish believers. Abraham is the father of faith. We are his children when we trust God as he did. God told Abraham, "Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Jewish people have brought untold benefit to the nations. The ultimate expression manifest in the covenants of promise and from Mary's womb. Jesus said, "Salvation is of the Jews." Our Lord Jesus suffered on a cross. Above it, words were posted, "Jesus, King of the Jews." We also are subjects of the Jewish King. Many in the early Jewish church wondered if God cared about Gentiles. Today, many Gentile believers wonder if God still cares about the Jews. This is obviously racial and ethnic prejudice we must overcome. The scriptures teach the Lord Jesus is returning to Jerusalem, not Mexico City, Brisbane, or Cairo. We pray for those cities, but not like we pray for Jerusalem. The Bible urges, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We have a responsibility to bless Abraham. We Gentile believers have a debt of gratitude to Abraham and his Messiah. We are grafted into a Jewish root. If you are a Gentile believer, your life is inextricably bound with Israel. Paul said, to the Jew first. We will be blessed if we give priority blessing to Abraham. Paul groaned, my heart's desire and prayer for them is their salvation. I believe there is coming a massive harvest of Jewish souls, and they will be part of the last great missionary movement. We have an opportunity to pray and work for that harvest. We care deeply about Israel and the Jewish people in many nations who are being intimidated and harassed this very day. Incidents of anti-Semitism around the world have escalated to an all-time high. Now, the present war between radical Islam and the Jewish people. There are staggering things happening in our world. There are alliances of powers and ideologies which are likely to reshape the global map. Hamas has recently sent over 7,000 rockets into Israel to indiscriminately kill. On October 7th, a black day, their animalistic savagery butchered 1,400 people, including people from several other nations. Never forget those images. They took over 200 hostages. These things make us groan, sigh, cry, and pray. Birth pains are increasing. There is now a war with focused determination to eradicate the terrorist group Hamas in Gaza. Hamas is in the Bible. In the days of Noah, we learn the world was full of violence because of them. The Hebrew word for violence is Hamas, and they are living up to their name. It is a terror to many Palestinians in Gaza. To disagree with their selfish, destructive policies is to endanger your life. Some are chanting, Free Palestine. We agree. Free Palestine from the butchery of Hamas. We don't have enough time to talk about the cruelties they have brought their own people. Do not be mistaken and believe the battle is all about land. It is about genocide and extinction. Hamas's byline, from the river to the sea, means they wish to annihilate all Jews living between the Jordan and the Mediterranean. Their 1988 charter says Islam will obliterate Israel. They will fight and kill the Jews. They are not alone in these ambitions. Israel has just shy of 10 million people, 8 million Jews, and 2 million Arabs. They are surrounded by 500 million neighbors, 22 Arab nations. Many among them chant, Death to Israel. How many of you have stumbled onto some of those videos? You know they also chant, Death to America. Hamas is not an isolated entity seeking the extermination of the Jewish people, followed, of course, by America and Western powers. There are dozens of radicalized Islamic groups seeking jihad, holy war, the destruction of Israel, and our destruction. Israel is a buffer to us, and America is a buffer to Israel. Both nations are dealing with material, existential threats, meaning the dangers are so real the existence of these nations is in a life and death scenario. Radical Islam's goal is to destroy the lesser Satan, Israel, first, and then the great Satan, America. But they may be attempting to tackle both nations at once. Hamas is in the south. In the north, in Lebanon and Syria, Hezbollah is 10 times the threat. They possess 150,000 rockets, massive arms, and trained soldiers. Israeli soldiers are now guarding the borders and responding to occasional missiles and shells. Up to 300,000 Israelis have left their homes for safety and moved to the interior. Israel has had a wake-up call. It is their 911. Everyone knows now decades of appeasement, border walls, and land for peace trades will not work with terrorists bent on genocide. The nation has rallied with resolve. There are no peace pacts with ravenous wolves. Hamas must be destroyed. America has sent the Ford and Eisenhower aircraft carrier strike groups to Israel to back up our Middle East ally. Pray on this. Each carrier has other ships with them. Perhaps you know there are enough nuclear weapons on these ships to level the earth several times over. They have been intercepting some of the rockets from Hezbollah going into Israel. American bases in the Middle East have experienced attacks and there have been retaliations. In the meantime, China has sent 6 Navy ships to the area. It's not a gesture of peace. China has investments they are watching over. Add to this Russian warplanes now flying over the region. They have been trying to intimidate our forces. Russia has alliances with Syria and is an arms provider. Everyone knows that Iran is the source of both funding for international terrorism and the propagator and inciter of anti-Semitism. Iran provides arms and directions for Hamas and Hezbollah and other terror groups. And shamefully, America, in folly, has been a funder of Iran. Russia also has alliances with Iran and provides them nuclear technology. Iran may presently have nukes of their own making or may have purchased nukes from other countries. They are rattling the saber. Turkey is now signaling their ire with Israel. Other nations far distant from Israel are also clamoring. The United Nations is not condemning Hamas for their atrocities, but Israel because they are fighting to destroy their attackers. Things are getting more complicated and compacted. The whole region becomes a powder keg, and dynamite is being added to the pile daily. If someone is careless with matches, we may have a regional war, which could rapidly escalate into a world war, and that war may go beyond conventional. If America joins the fray, we may not be able to fight a conventional war for lack of weapons and troops. Billions of dollars of military hardware were left with the Taliban in Afghanistan. Billions of dollars of weapons have been given to Ukraine. We may not have enough conventional arms and boots on the ground, and so be forced to use a dreadful final option. The broader threat to Christians and the world at large. Islam has trouble distinguishing between Christians in America and Americans at large. They see us as a Christian nation. Therefore, our Christian nation has propagated pornography, abortion, homosexuality, indulgence, arrogance, and at times violence and economic harassment. There are reasons they call us the Great Satan. The past 3 years, 7 million people have illegally entered our borders, people from 150 nations. A small percentage of them mean mischief. There are 3.75 million Muslims in America. A small percentage of them mean mischief. There are other political and ideological groups in America. A small percentage of them mean mischief. What if only 1/100th of 1% intended to act out their mischief? Let's say only 1,000 people, hidden in cells, intent to cut off our electricity and water, sabotage our communications, our food distribution, our roads, internet, our political and economic centers, and terrorize citizens with bullets and bombs. Remember, 19 radicalized Muslim men getting onto airplanes did great damage to our nation. What could 1,000 do? We are warned from Scripture, in the last days there will be perilous times. For over 2 decades, terror cells have been growing in our nation, adding to their numbers, making clever plans, and waiting for a certain moment to wreak havoc. Where would the battle take place in America? At school auditoriums, police stations, and highway overpasses? In county courthouses, fuel depots, radio towers, and electrical substations? Belligerents might make our backyards the battlefield. Neo-Nazis have already been arrested for attacks on our electrical grid. My words are not imaginative or inflammatory, but descriptive. They are not particularly prophetic, but based on historical trends. We are not to be paralyzed with fear, but we must be awake, alert, and sober, devoting ourselves to prayer and practical action. Muslims today tell Europeans, one day all this will be ours. They came very close in 732 to conquering Europe, reaching France until they were turned back by Charles of Herstal. Now, let's remind ourselves what we are standing on. Our foundation, our monolithic rock on which we stand and find security, is Jesus Christ, our living Lord. We are not to run around like Chicken Little, wailing the sky is falling. We are to be heralding, get ready, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus didn't say, disciple the nations, unless earthquaking, discomforting events happen. Our mission is unchanged. When men's hearts are failing for fear, we are to stand tall, look to heaven, and know our redemption is drawing near. It is a day for courage and action, prompted by joyful anticipation. The Lord will never leave or forsake us. He will be our fortress, giving us protection. And should we die, we know even in death the righteous have a refuge. Many Bible students are asking, are we about to see all of Israel's neighbors come to attack, as we see in Psalm 83? Are we about to see nuclear exchanges, as might be suggested by Zechariah 5 and 14 and Ezekiel 38? Do passages in Revelation echo nuclear devastation? I'm not sure. Uncertainty drives me to our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our security. We do know our Lord Jesus does not want us wobbly, but rather strong in great faith. He can save us from the furnace of fire. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to other gods. God is able to keep his promise to Abraham and give the land as an eternal possession to Abraham. Get ready for lots of shaking. Rather than being afraid of shaking, why not pray for shaking? O God, do whatever shaking is necessary to shake out evil and corruption and bring your kingdom. Shake out of me everything that needs to go. Your kingdom come. Do you know how to frustrate a terrorist? Refuse to be afraid. Let them be unsuccessful at creating terror. How do we keep from fear? By remembering the I am with you principle we see dozens of times in Scripture. As we are mindful of God, every other fear must be minimized. How important it is to stick close to our Lord Jesus and hear His voice daily. Our Lord Jesus, who looks down on our tiny earth, warned us of difficult times, perilous times, because of corruption. He doesn't miss a trick. Thank God our Lord Jesus warned us. In this world you have tribulation. He warned His disciples to get out of Jerusalem when they saw it being surrounded by Roman armies. How flat-footed we would be without His loving warnings. We must be listening to His voice and responding with action. After warning us of tribulation, Jesus fills our courage bucket, saying, "Take courage. I have overcome the world." Please do take His offer of courage. Take fiery courage from His hand and stoke your heart with it. Jesus warned men's hearts will fail them for fear. But His encouragement to us, when you see all these things, lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. My friend, the best is yet to come. He is coming. He is coming to fully answer our 2,000-year-old prayer. Your kingdom come on our planet just as it prevails in the highest heaven. This generational prayer is about to be colossally answered. The King of the Jews is returning. Messiah spoke of Himself in a parable. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. I think it is ever so prudent to have plans to navigate difficult times. I suggest you be prepared in a calm, common-sense way. Talk to those in your circles on these matters, and saints in your fellowship. I'd be glad to talk with you. Many preppers are wrong-headed in that they want to retreat from the world. I think believers should prepare materially, spiritually, and mentally to care for their needs, but also to be equipped to let our lights shine in dark times, engaging with and assisting our neighbors. The greatest preparation is for the bridegroom's coming. Take courage. You were born for such a time as this. You are being promoted to places of challenge that will push you to the very end of yourself. You are being promoted to become the servant of all and to bear more burdens by the grace of God than you ever thought you could bear. Value this life, but not too dearly. There are things more valuable than life. The Scripture tells us what is really valuable. Your loving kindness is better than life. We are not alone. We are in this together, with Yeshua, through thick and thin, through knot holes and the olive press, sharing in the cross of Jesus, so that we may also share in His resurrection. It's time to come out of sleep. It's time to come out of anxiety. It's time to be believers upgrading our faith in the faithful one. We cast out passivity, anxiety, and indecision, becoming activated Christians. The best part of the program is about to begin. Listen for the sound of a trumpet and the cry, "Behold the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Are you hearing your cue call from the curtain? Now is your time to stand on the stage and play your part. This is your Esther moment. You really already know what you need to do. It's inside you. Let's act our roles and do it together. Dear Lord of history past and bright history future, God of plan and purpose, God of mysterious predestination, we put our trust in you. Help us to be awake, sober, and alert, so we may abide in you and pray your will. Help each of us to know our script. Deliver us from stage fright. Show us how to take the courage you offer. Teach us to pray in your Holy Spirit. Interpret our groaning, sighing, and tears for the people of Israel, the condition of your church, and the needs of nations which can only be met through the gospel. Pour out your spiritual gifts on us so that we may be empowered and useful. Show us how to pray for and practically bless the Jewish people, the Palestinians, and all nations. Display the glories of Jesus Christ through our lives to Jews and Gentiles. Let our good works adorn your gospel. Help us disciple whole nations. Dear Father, Nehemiah and his cohorts both prayed and hefted stones. Show us what practical things we can do. Speak to us through dreams, visions, and prophetic impressions. Make us the most spiritually aware and practical people on earth. Show us how to connect as one and work together for your kingdom. Forgive us where we have hidden our light. Show us how to bring forth our secret faith and make public our testimony of Jesus and our confidence in Him. Lord, you said when things get dark, our light would come and we are to arise and shine. Show us how to prepare ourselves for the days ahead, how to share courage with those dealing with fear, how to participate with you in shaking the nations. Use us as Elijah's to prepare the way for Jesus, your Son. This, my friend, is a day of astonishing revelation. The glory of God Almighty is being revealed. The nastiness of evil is being exposed. You are so privileged to live in the mix. A world of good will come from it, and God intends it to happen through you. This is Steve Johnson with Landing Strip Enterprises. What will you take home from this message? How will you be different?